Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I am Aaron Negler, and joining me, as always, is my partner here at Cheesehead TV, Mr. Corey Banky. I am coming to you live from New York City, Cheesehead TV. Corey joins us across the street from Lambeau Field, and we're ready to talk some Packers. What do we have on tap today, Corey?
Today, we review the historic bombshell trade for Micah Parsons and get ready for the season opener against Detroit. Ew. But right now, it's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good. We got
getting Micah Parsons.
We got the bad. We got
losing Kenny Clark.
We got the ugly. We got
the NFC North copium. Corey Banky, the NFC North fandoms outside of Green Bay, Wisconsin, are ingesting a dangerous level of copium throughout the course of this last week.
They just can't handle it.
I mean, have some.
I brought stats for the copium.
Dignity.
Did you?
Well, we'll
I know you're not used to that, but I did bring some stats.
Now, wait a second. You brought stats? Did you say stats? You?
I just thought it was funny. I was watching all of the copium happening. I was watching all of the podcasts that came out, all the things of people that are now experts in Micah Parsons, which is hilarious to me. And,
well, there are a few of them too.
I think once we eat our vegetables and get through some news, we got to talk about, you know, what some things we're looking at.
Wait a second. Let me make sure that we're not looking at the same. I think there's a possibility we might be looking at the same kind of stats here, because we know we've heard from the copium throughout the week about run defense, about his injury status, and all of that. I'm going to let you dive into every bit of that as we go forward here. But first, we have to give a shout out to our good friends over at Nicolay Law. This episode of Packer Transplants is sponsored by Nicolay Law. You never plan on needing a lawyer, but if you're ever in a car crash, suffer a slip and fall, or are injured in another kind of accident, you want someone in your corner who gets it. Nicolay Law helps people across the Midwest, and they fight hard for regular folks, not big corporations, not insurance companies, just you. Calling a lawyer can feel intimidating, but Nicolay Law makes it simple. Their team takes on the stress, deals with the insurance companies, and fights for the compensation you deserve so you can focus on getting your life back. If you're injured, don't wait. Call 1-855-NICOLAY or visit nicolaylaw.com to get started. You know what I want to get started, Corey. You know where I'm at. You know where I want to go with this. You know what's next, don't you?
What's that?
Let's get to the hotness. Come on.
Let's do it.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. I mean, I could throw up any play that Micah Parsons has ever made in a Cowboys uniform.
Sure.
But he'd be wearing a Cowboys uniform. And I wouldn't feel right about that. I will say, since we last spoke, Corey, probably the hottest thing I've seen is this tweet from Ian Rappaport announcing the fact that the Packers had traded for Micah Parsons. I had to check this thing about 4,000 times, give or take once or twice, to make sure that it was real. And it happened right before I went live on Packers Daily. So you can imagine how I was a bit flustered. But that was an amazing moment in time, seeing that tweet come across the timeline. Where were you when you found out about the Micah Parsons trade?
I was shooting gardening videos.
Of course you were.
What's hilarious is me and my videographer. Yeah. So because it was Thursday, and I got texts from so many people. I got like 10 texts.
Oh, yeah.
And look, my phone's blowing up, and I'm like literally thinking about shooting a video on. I think I shot Nectar Power. No. We were shooting a video on amaranth, and because amaranths are really cool. I actually have. Oh, here's an amaranth. Oh, no, wrong side. Here's an amaranth right over my shoulder. That right there. That tall guy right there. That really
peeking
tall
up over the fence there.
Yeah, that's a golden. Yeah, that's a amaranth. They're known as the fourth sister for those of you that need that for your trivia. They're not in the Three Sisters planting. They're an actual ancient grain, and that amaranth was actually, I was literally talking about German lab researchers, because they took that amaranth and they bred it so you could get 1 pound of grain out of one plant. So any like gardener or farmer can get a huge, huge, huge surplus. That was in the 70s, that amaranth. So anyway, now you know something you didn't know before today.
I didn't know. That's right. And now I also know where you were when you found out about Micah Parsons becoming a member of the Green Bay Packers, which is still a bit surreal.
It is funny when my – it is very surreal, and it is funny when my phone blew up because I didn't know that was a thing anymore, you know?
I know. I had people texting me while I was live. I had Bill Schmid texting me while I was live while he was watching me live. I'm like, dog, you understand I can't answer your text right now, right? But that was fun. That was a good time. Speaking of good times – come on out Saturday night for the first ever Cheesehead TV kickoff party. D2 Sports Pub right down the street on Armed Forces Drive, right across from Lambeau Field. Corey will be there. I'll be there. Carry the G will be on offer. Plenty of it. Get yourself some Carry the G. Motel Men will be performing live later in the evening. It's going to be a good time. Corey, I can't wait. Can't wait to see you. I fly in tomorrow.
Exciting.
Can't wait to be there with Packers fans worldwide. And this is legit, Corey. I have heard from people literally from all over the world, all over the globe, who are coming to this thing. So
nice.
Be prepared to say hello to Packers fans worldwide on Saturday night.
I'm ready for it. I'm excited.
You know what I'm ready for? I'm ready for some Carry the G. I'm ready to get back to Wisconsin and get myself some Carry the G in my system. I can't wait. And I love that we're running the ball this year, you know? No more throwing the football. We're running the ball. Look at that. Great new design from Brent. Absolutely love it. Good stuff.
Technically,
good stuff.
We were starting.
We were in motion to throw the ball. Right. Exactly.
We were thinking.
We could have been
it.
Running the Statue of Liberty play. Fair point. Fair point. No doubt about it.
We were Arnie Herring looking down the
let's
field.
Let's get to some Packers news. I don't know if you heard about it, Corey. The Packers traded for Micah Parsons. Just got to make it official. You know, none of this is official. Forget the Packers announcing it. Forget Micah Parsons being in the auditorium at Lambeau. None of this is official until it appears on Cheesehead TV Packers News. So
that's right.
Now it's official. Now it is official. Then we can get to some of the stuff from practice both Monday and today. Elgton Jenkins was limited at practice, and we finally got our first injury report for the season. Elgton Jenkins is dealing with a hip injury. That is why he was not practicing on Monday. The hip injury hopefully won't keep him out of the game. We'll see how he trends. They were in pads today, and the fact that he participated at all is obviously a good sign. But still, something to keep an eye on as the week progresses. Speaking of practice and who was out there and who wasn't, Jaden Reed and Nate Hobbs were the only two people not practicing today, which you don't love to hear. Although I know Jaden Reed told reporters in the locker room this afternoon that the plan was to give him today as a rest day. It was always the plan that he would take today off. I guess he was pressed a little bit about, well, are you going to be out there tomorrow, the rest of the week? And apparently there's a decent chance he's out there in a limited capacity, which I don't think anybody would find surprising. The Nate Hobbs thing, that's disappointing. The whole reason they did the surgery was that he'd be ready by week one. Well, here we are. We're heading into week one. Nate Hobbs not practicing while there's tons of video all over the internet, all over Twitter today of Jaire Alexander returning to practice for the Ravens. I don't make the rules,
good
but
for him.
This is the comparison that's going to be made all season long.
I'm glad.
Right?
I didn't want Jaire to be out. I really didn't.
I'm with you. I'm totally with you.
I never want to see any player in it. Well, let me think. Is there any player? No, I never want to see any player like get hurt or do anything bad. I would say the only guy that came close was Ndamukong Suh
because he was a douchebag when he played the Packers.
Dirty player, yeah. He was kind of a dirty
somewhat
player.
Of a dirty
I love
player.
How everyone's forgotten that too, by the way. Also, like,
it is interesting how that fades, right?
How am I today years old when I realize that we're treating the Detroit Lions like a real NFL team? Like, when did that happen?
Probably when they started kicking our ass for a couple years.
I'm old man laughing at a cloud days when we just used to just say, oh, the Lions are so adorable.
Right.
It's kind of weird.
Okay.
Are you busy right now?
Think about people behind you in that building.
Yes.
Who would I ever pause to actually look at their text and answer them? There's probably what do you think? Maybe a handful? What do you think? There's maybe two, three of them that I would.
I think there's three people. There's three people I'm thinking about right now, although one of them does not have your cell phone, so I don't think he counts. So two of them
do. So it's not that guy. But there is certainly somebody.
What is he doing?
Is he talking about my backlight or something? It is a woman.
I think a woman
who works in the building behind.
Okay. That's four people then.
There you go. So, that's where we're living right now. Sorry about that. Just wanted to make sure. It's like Schefter getting news while he's live, you know? I just wanted to make sure we weren't missing anything.
Oh, we're comparing you to Adam Schefter now? Is that what we're doing in 2025?
No.
That's where we are?
Just the idea that we're live and information's coming in and you don't want to miss it because it might be important. That's all. That's all we're doing. Please, sir. Never would I make that comparison.
I feel like I'm more important than anyone texting you. I'm just saying.
Well, that's probably true.
But if it was good for the brand,
if it was good for the show, I think you'd understand if I had to take a call or text and said, "Okay, let's giddy up." That's all I'm saying.
So what? We're getting somebody on the show right now? Is that what's happening?
No, we're not.
Okay,
that's the whole downswing of this. Rasheed Walker starting at left tackle. I don't know if you know this, but he was asked in the in the locker room, and he said, "Yeah, I'm starting." What's interesting is that, you know, who knows how things fall along the offensive line. I think we could see Jordan Morgan either starting at right guard if Elgton Jenkins is unable to go, but if Jenkins is able to go, I won't be surprised if we see Jordan Morgan subbing in for Rasheed Walker at some point. But when they kick off first offensive drive, Rasheed Walker will be your starting left tackle.
You know what's really
so much
funny?
For that camp battle. What's that?
Like, I just completely forgot we were 1-5 in the NFC North.
We most certainly were, sir.
And you know why it's funny? Because I think there's certain stats that you just want to, like, forget. Kind of like a cornerback. Like, you just want to forget them.
Yeah.
Like, you just should.
Got to flush it.
You know what I mean?
Got to flush it.
Because they're not really relevant, right? Like, we don't hang NFC North banners. No, but any season. We don't hang NFC North banners. So it doesn't really matter. But then I do think it's interesting. Oh,
winning the division gets you a home game in the playoffs. You know what I mean? Like, it matters a little bit. I mean, there's some sustenance there. You know what I'm saying? There's some validity to wanting to win your divisional games.
I'll bring up one
thing. Winning the division.
Did we win the division when we won the Super Bowl?
Of course not.
Did we?
The last time.
No, that's why it doesn't matter. Yeah, last time.
The last time.
First team ever to go on the road 3 times and win the Super Bowl. No team will ever do it again. That's what's great about the Packers. We're good at those things. We're good at having those weird. You know what the greatest stat the Green Bay Packers ever had that still haunts me to this day?
What's that?
Never losing a playoff game in Lambeau until 2007.
Oh God, you had to bring it up, right? You had to bring it up.
There are people, okay? I feel for them because they died too soon. But there are people who live their entire lives never seeing the Packers lose a playoff game at Lambeau. How amazing is that? Now, they didn't see the Packers play a lot of playoff games at Lambeau.
There was a decent interval where there were none, of course.
So,
what, 12, 13 in a row? I mean, that's not bad.
That's a
good place to live.
But imagine living your whole life and you went to Lambeau and the Packers never lost a playoff game there. I thought I was going to be that person. I remember showing up in 2007, and I remember being like, you know what? I'm going to experience the second NFC Championship game at Lambeau ever, and this is going
to
be great. And there's an alternate reality where I didn't get a house across from Lambeau, but we won that game. And sometimes I wonder which
sliding door would you prefer, Corey? That's a interesting theoretical question for you.
That game still hurts. It's weird.
Yeah. Well, probably you're still thawing out from it. But yeah, that's
it's just weird.
One.
It's weird thinking about that game sometimes. Sometimes I just think about that game. And I don't think about games that often. I'm not like you. I don't go back and relive like the preseason from fucking, you know, whenever. But
look, all I mentioned was that Desmond Howard made the team on a big return against the Chiefs in the preseason back in 96.
Oh my lord.
That's all I'm saying. That's not that crazy. That's a pretty significant moment. You know what's hilarious? He doesn't do that. He's not on the squad. He doesn't become this amazing returner for them all throughout the 96 season and doesn't become Super Bowl MVP on the way to a championship and bringing title back to title town.
I get invited to a lot of 1265 trivia games.
Right.
And it's always expected that I will win when the Packers are the category.
Right.
But I'm here to tell you, and I'm pretty dang good at Packers trivia. I'm going to be honest with you.
Sure. Right.
But I do not. I'm not even in the top 20 if you're in the same room with me. It's ridiculous.
That's ridiculous. It's just certain types of trivia about the Packers. You'd wipe the floor with plenty of those discussions. Speaking of history and going back and looking at things that haven't happened either before or in a long time, Matthew Golden has switched his number to 0, and Micah Parsons will be wearing number 1, the first to do so, since Curly Lambeau did it back in the day. Corey, I will cede the floor to you if you have any thoughts on this. I said this on the air on 97.3 The Game last week, 2 weeks ago, what have you, when everyone was talking about what number he was going to wear, all this stuff. Man, I don't care if there are hieroglyphics on the back of his jersey.
Yeah,
just ball out. I don't care what any of these dudes' numbers are. I do not. Ball out.
Didn't they technically add 0 and 1 2 years ago?
I think they added them, but they haven't given them out in the regular season.
But, like, the NFL allowed for them. Like, that was a rule change, right?
No.
Because didn't that happen around the time when wide receivers could do 20s? Didn't everything change when they changed how the number hierarchy is?
It shifted about 3 or 4 years ago, yes.
Yeah, 3 or 4 years ago.
They opened it up, so it wasn't positionally kind of rigid. That did change recently. But 0, I think, is a – I don't think it's been outlawed or anything like that, but – I know no one's ever worn it for the Packers. Now Golden's going to do it. And Parsons taking Curly Lambeau's number. Man, Godspeed. It's going to look great.
I think great it's great.
As he's standing over a slain quarterback, number 1.
I mean,
I love it.
I think it's great. I don't know. I mean, put a statue up. Let's go. Like, give me a reason to put a statue up. Give me a reason to retire 0 and 1. You know what I'm saying?
There you go. That's what I'm talking about. Take it out of commission because you've been so awesome for the Green Bay Packers. I'm down with this idea. Let's talk about the offense, and let's talk about Matthew Golden for a second, because what I love coming out of this camp, Corey, and I know you follow along and you've heard and seen a lot about how good he's looked, right? And one of the things that his ascension, I think, is in service to or because of, man, talk about taking advantage of an opportunity when it presents itself. Think about all the guys at the wide receiver position who missed like large swaths of time this summer. I mean, Dontavian Wicks barely practiced, right?
Yeah.
You got Jaden Reed out for over a month. Matthew Golden took absolute advantage of that to the point where now on their unofficial depth chart, which was released, yesterday, he's the starting receiver opposite Romeo Doubs. You know, obviously, that's just a unofficial depth chart. Doesn't mean
a whole
lot. I thought
you said that was a marketing ploy.
Well, mostly. But it says usually what you can possibly expect out there on the first kickoff, you know, first drive of this season, guy who is a rookie, especially. Not often do the Packers list rookies, especially at wide receiver, as starters.
No. It is kind of crazy.
Took advantage of his moment. So far, I
but
love it.
Do you think how I'm much excited. Do you think? I mean, I do think a lot of it's him taking advantage. But how much do you think is holy wide receivers room, Batman? We went from like
right
having the pick of the litter. I felt like we didn't have a number one, but we had a lot of good guys. To like holy, what happened? Like and
yeah,
so
well, they've been
that's
banged
a
up.
Concerning.
We haven't had an opportunity to see them. I mean, Savion Williams, another fellow rookie, barely saw the practice field this summer. You know, was, you know, in and out of the lineup with various injuries. Now, it's good to see he's back. He's been practicing. You know, he practiced Monday. He practiced today. Who knows what his involvement's going to be. But, man, you can set your watch on the fact that Matthew Golden's going to be involved. you know, and that's because he showed it's not too big for him. He showed he can hang at an NFL level up to this point, right? Now things start to get more intense, obviously, when the games kick off. But, man, it's just an exciting time for this young man.
It is. It is really. You know what it. You know what it is, too? I feel like we have 4 to 5 players who are ready to meet the moment. And what I mean by that is, you know, Golden ascending as fast as he did, Micah Parsons being, you know, arguably one of the top 3 defensive players in the NFL, Jordan Love ready to meet the moment, just getting married, just finally having, like, kind of the offense to himself and having, you know, his third year here, right? And then, you know, I would say Rashawn Gary's ready to meet the moment. I would say Xavier McKinney's ready to meet the moment. I would say Josh Jacobs is ready to meet the moment. I would say, you know, Rashid Walker with a guy burning his body.
Breathing down his neck.
Him,
yep.
Breathing right. down his neck. Rashid Walker, Elgton Jenkins. We just got a lot of guys, I feel like, that are ready to meet the moment. Tucker Kraft, LVN. You know, where does this put LVN? I think LVN as the third guy on that
That's
team.
That's exciting to me.
That is very exciting. It's like, oh, it's not on his shoulders. They're not going to be able to pin back. What are they going to do? Especially when they're going to double team Micah Parsons. It just allows my. It's just so many. I just feel like we have a lot of men who are ready to meet 2025 where it is.
Very much agreed. And you mentioned Jordan Love. What's exciting is the fact that he's a full participant in practice today. I mean, after he, you know, hurt his left thumb there in the first preseason game. You know, obviously they talked about, oh, he's going to have the surgery, he's going to be ready, and hell, we heard similar about Nate Hobbs, and that certainly hasn't materialized. So you did kind of hold your breath, I think, a little bit, despite all the assurances, everything's going to be fine, blah, blah, blah. It's like, okay, I try not to listen, I try to watch what you do rather than what you say. And, man, Jordan Love, full participant in practice, both Monday and today. Sounds like he's good to go. I know he had that interview with Packers.com talking about how no restrictions, ready for everything and anything. Man, you talk about meeting the moment. It is a monster year for Jordan Love as far as being not just, you know, the head of the offense, like the face of the franchise even. Like all of that is a given, right? But just to play at a high level in the NFL as the third year starter and hopefully, knock wood, able to do so in a mostly injury-free kind of stretch here for this season where we can finally say, oh yeah, without a doubt, this is one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. Because I know there are still so many naysayers, even within the Packers fandom, there are naysayers about Jordan Love. And I'm just very excited for him to put a lot of that to rest.
Here's the thing. If you're a naysayer in the Packers fandom, you got some other bias going on. You're not actually watching tape. You're not actually, like, grading. You're not actually thinking about it objectively, in my opinion, right?
Right.
If you're in the Packers fandom. If you're not in the Packers fandom, you just haven't watched enough tape.
You have a vested, interest to hate on him, right?
Yeah, most of the guys in the national media, you can just tell they haven't watched anything. Like, they're forming opinions based on a couple national games that he had as opposed to watching. Because if you watch his highlights from last season, they're pretty dang good. I mean, did he, like every quarterback the Green Bay Packers have some boneheaded interceptions and some stupid throws that he wishes he could take back? Yeah.
No,
Brett Favre,
no.
The year he won the Super Bowl, had more damn interceptions than Jordan did. So there. But, yeah, if you're just not paying attention, I feel like, or you have a bias. You have a bias against the narrative, like, right? You're just fighting a narrative story arc instead of actually, like, objectively looking at the reality.
Of the playing the position, too. That's the other thing. Because it takes, as Matt is always fond of saying, it takes all 11, right? And if you know, Jordan's at the top of his drop and has set the protection and done everything he can from his position as quarterback to get them in the best possible spot. And no one's winning downfield, or he delivers the ball and they drop it, which they were one of the league leaders in doing so last year. Like, Jordan can only do so much. So here's hoping he and the receivers and all of the eligible receivers are ready to, as you say, meet the moment in 2025. One final thing on the offensive side of the ball I did want to highlight, just because it hasn't been talked about a whole hell of a lot, I think because we kind of assume this is how it would play out, but the backfield depth behind Josh Jacobs, it's pretty damn stout. Like, I understand it's the same kind of setup they had last year. I think a lot of people were really obviously hoping that Marshawn Lloyd would provide something, and that's clearly not going to happen early this season. But, man, you could do a lot worse than what they have. You know, Wilson and Brooks are really good backs, and obviously neither of those guys and precious few guys anywhere are going to step in and be Josh Jacobs. But, man, the offense doesn't have to materially change when they're in there to keep defenses guessing. And to me, that's a testament to their work. It's a testament to the personnel group to make sure that, you know, of course, we do have a superstar at running back in Josh Jacobs. There is zero doubt there. But, man, they got some real ballers behind him that can switch things up, a bit of a different approach probably. Both of them are good at different things. But, man, they're not going to get talked about a whole lot for obvious reasons. There's a lot of other things going on. But I feel really good about their depth there at running back.
I didn't watch training camp, so I would have no idea. I know Josh Jacobs is going to be good.
That is correct.
So that's all I really care about right now. But, I was bummed about Marshawn Lloyd for sure.
Yeah. Well, who knows? Maybe we get him eventually this season at some point. I know we said that last year and it never materialized, so we'll see. Switching it over to defense. Parsons, you know, Matt LaFleur was asked point blank, what's the plan? Is he going to play, et cetera? And Matt is sounding very cautious. And I know he mentioned there's a possibility that he plays a limited role as they ramp him up, et cetera. Man, I don't know. Like, I'm trying to stay level-headed about this, Corey, but, you know, he looked pretty good there in practice on Monday. And then the story comes out, he's dealing with the back thing, and no doubt he's listed on the injury report as limited with a back injury. But he was practicing in pads today, Corey.
I mean,
I just don't feel like this guy's going to be off the field on Sunday.
This is just part – I feel like this is all part of the game, the gamesmanship. You know?
I agree with
they
that.
Don't want to key –
That's kind of what I'm saying.
Key in
yes.
on him. Yeah, it's like – it's the gamesmanship. Now, okay, mm-hmm. couple things I want to say about Micah Parsons now that we are 26 minutes into the show.
Yes, sir.
Okay, one is, dude, I just watched this video. Is this wrong? Okay, so you know how they're saying it's like $44 million against the cap, but the actual cap number is like 28, and then like the last year of the deal, it's like 58, but that basically makes it so that they'll basically, if everything goes well, they'll make that a smoother number by extending him.
Of course, the
actual cap hit is lower than I thought. It's not anywhere close to $40 million.
Dude, the cap hit this year is almost negligible. The cap hit
it's
this
like
year
nine,
is not like
I
around
think.
Yeah, like just yeah, under $10 like million dollars for your
So yeah,
right?
But then it goes like 9, yes. then it goes like 16, then it goes like, and I'm being very general and vague cuz I don't know what I'm talking about, but then it goes like 26 and then it goes like high. It's like 60 something in the last
what's
year.
Funny,
of the deal.
What's funny, Corey, is that you know how when we had Brian on this offseason and we asked, you know, was about open windows and opening your window and do you want to take advantage, blah, 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 and all this stuff. And he repeated something he said before, but I don't believe in windows. And I can only take him at his word, right? But whether he believes in windows or not, this contract with Micah Parsons opens a three-year window. Now, you can say they got to win a Super Bowl in this 3 years to make it worth it, etc., whatever your mileage will be. But that after 3 years of this deal, to your point, there will be a renegotiation.
Yeah.
Like, that will happen. So
the window
has just been opened, and it's open for the next 3 years.
Yeah, well, I guess what I was trying to say is it's still like a lot of – so part of the NFC copium that I've seen going around is, we overpaid. I'm sorry, but we didn't overpay. And two, that, you know, the injury thing, whatever. Every player in the NFL is injured. I'm not – until you see them on Sunday, you don't know. You have no clue. No one has any clue until we see them in an actual regular season game, which we're going to see this weekend. Mm-hmm. But – yeah, it's so funny how immediately it was like, it was a bad deal. Because, like, you see a lot of these trades and you think that they're lopsided towards one team. It's like, we're doing a Saints or a Carolina thing where we're just loading up these years. But it doesn't look like we are, actually. We're going to have some room in these 3 years to still do the deals we need to do to extend guys.
Especially because the guys who are coming up for contracts are going to be let go, right? But that's the thing. I talked about this with Justice a couple weeks ago. Like, when you open up, say, you know, this idea of, okay, we want to be able to maneuver within the salary cap. Well, you can't pay everyone, right? We paid Zach Tom. Rashid Walker, thank you for your service. This is probably his last year in Green Bay. Same for Romeo Doubs. There are a number of guys where you can look and say, this is probably their last year. But that's baked into the idea of you pick and choose who you're paying while being able to maintain the flexibility you're talking about, right? Like, you're still going to draft and develop. You still want to lean on cheap labor, which is why the Packers being the youngest team is important, even though people try to dismiss it. It's like, that's cheap labor. That's a lot of guys on their rookie deals that really help you put together your team. But now they're having to make those choices, Corey. Like, okay, yes, we can pay Zach Tom, but we know by doing that, there's a decent chance that Rashid Walker is going to be gone. You know, that's baked into this. So to your point, you take on this contract, you give this contract out because he is such a difference maker and the potential for kind of, I mean, double X, whatever your input is, as far as what your investment is in Micah Parsons, man, it does ripple across the roster, but it greatly aids your ability to go and win a championship. And that's why they did it. And it's what people have been begging the Packers to do for years, which is the funniest.
They needed the right player to do it for.
Right player.
And let's talk about that for a second. Okay, so some of you might have forgotten, but the Packers got really good at defense last year. And I know it's hard to believe because we're Packers fans.
Yeah.
It's really hard to believe that we're good at defense. Just me being in my 40s, let's say, it's very hard for me to believe that we're good at defense. The last time we were good at defense, in my opinion, when Nick Collins was playing, you know? So that's a while ago. And then before that, Leroy Butler was playing. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just like, look, good safeties. Oh, we got one now. So I'm just going to go through what the AI mode in Google told me about league rankings here for 1 second. So fifth in passing yards allowed, ninth in passing touchdowns allowed, fifth in rushing yards allowed, third in rushing yards per game, tied for eighth in sacks. Very important to note. Tied for third in interceptions. Pretty crazy. Interception return touchdowns tied for 10th. Tied for third in fumble recoveries. Tied for eighth in forced fumbles. Tied for 10th in defensive touchdowns. Third in takeaways. Sixth in points per game allowed. And fifth in total yards allowed. That's pretty good.
Okay? It's not
bad. The big individual takeaways are Rashawn Gary with 7.5 sacks and Xavier McKinney with 8 interceptions. Okay. That is a good, like, if you told me that this year we were going to do that, I'd be like, all right, cool.
Yeah.
Sign me up, coach.
Right.
All right. And then I'm going to, okay, so just take all that and just put it in your belly. All right. Now I'm going to show you, okay, I'm not going to show you, I'm going to tell. It's going to be auditory. Mm-hmm. 2024 Kenny Clark stats. Thank you, Kenny Clark, for your service to the Green Bay Packers. By the way, this is not shitting on Kenny Clark by any stretch of the imagination. Kenny Clark was collateral damage in this trade. Love you, Kenny Clark, and I want to see you do really well. I think you are incredible. Green Bay Packer legend. Love Kenny Clark. Okay, but Kenny Clark totals. Okay, so he had solo tackles, 14, assisted tackles, 17, one sack. He didn't have a safety, unfortunately. Nobody did. And two passes defensed. Okay. Micah Parsons, 2024, 27 solo tackles, 12 sacks, so 11 more sacks, and, he had one less pass defensed. But here's my point, and I do have a point. Does anybody think, we lost Jair, so that's a negative. We got Nate Hobbs, but he's not playing. We lost Kenny. We got Micah. Does anyone think realistically that the Packers defense is going to be worse than they were last year? Anybody? I'm sure there's some fucking Eeyores out there. So I'm sure that there's some Eeyores that think that. But does anybody in their right mind, just on paper, right? Just on paper. Everybody grew up. Halfley gets another year. We get one of the best pass rushers in the NFL. And everybody gets to grow up and do their thing. And everybody's still around except Jair and Kenny. I think there's no way we didn't get better. Am I crazy?
They absolutely got better. There's no question about it. And the Parsons thing is hilarious when people try to frame it as though there are spots or areas where the Packers will be worse. I know the run defense has been beaten to death as far as always a bad run defender, which, as I said on Daily, if anyone tells you that he's a bad run defender, you can ignore them and their opinions on football for the rest of your life. You can just bid them adieu. because he is a very good run defender. He's a very effective player against the run. I love people coming out of the woodwork, usually Cowboys fans, talking about how, he was really good when he's going one-on-one, but he was bad against double teams. And then Mina Kimes dropping that bomb on Twitter, I think yesterday, saying he was like the most effective, whatever metric site you want to use, the most effective rusher against double teams in the league by a pretty significant margin. You know, it's like every
crazy. Well, it's funny when you said that too.
Thing that the fans want to throw against him, like every metric and the tape beats it back.
It's funny when you said the whole run defense, I literally watched a highlight. I think it's like 2 minutes of Micah Parsons against the run, and it's crazy. He blows up the middle and gets the runner in the backfield like a bunch of times. I mean, you know, yes, but don't you think a lot of that is like just like the Jerry Jones marketing machine trying to like nag against?
Well, some of that, certainly. But I also think some
and
of that
Dallas
is just football
Cowboys
fans. Look, man, some of that is just football fandom. Some of that is just baked into the idea of we remember the plays where they don't make and it frustrates us, and
we
that sticks with us.
Week. Yeah.
Yeah. Because that's just who we are. I mean, shit, we do it as Packers fans. Yeah. You know, we talk about this guy not doing that or, he get beat there. And then that gets into our brain as that's what always happens. But that's not true. These guys make plenty of plays that maybe we don't remember. Don't stick in our mind. Blah, blah, blah. That's why you want to, in the offseason, dispassionately, you know, go back and look at it and see what happened and why. And more often than not, guys you think played poorly played a hell of a lot better. And nobody exemplifies this more on the Packers currently than Keyshawn Nixon. Keyshawn Nixon is a poster child, mostly because of the position he plays. But he is a poster child for a guy that fans just want to kill and just really talk about what a liability he is and how bad he is when he is nothing like what is in their heads. You know what I mean? Like, he was going to be targeted in this game. He will give up plays. That's baked into the process of being a corner, especially when they've got really talented receivers. It's going to happen, right? But he's a really good fucking player. A really good player. And it drives me nuts that people, you know, fat Packers fans kind of trying to drag him down.
Yeah, I don't understand it. I don't understand it, but I already said my piece about this, and there's certain players that I get it. I get why people – I understand why people feel that way about him. I don't feel that way about him, but I understand why people do, because there's other players that I've spent my whole entire sports career feeling that way about. So I get it. It's not fair to the player, but I get why we feel that way. I get why our
one specific thing I'll talk about in regards to Nixon is – he's got to come correct on Sunday because the Lions do a really good job of getting after him. And I'm not talking about just the X's and O's. I'm talking about chirping between plays after a tackle or a missed tackle or after a receiver beats him or whatever. Don't forget the very first, kick return against the Lions last year in Lambeau. He got a 15-yard penalty because he said something on the sideline there. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, the Lions do a really good job of getting in his head. He's got to come correct on Sunday and not do anything dumb and not give them ammunition, you know, because if he can just play from play to play at a high level, which I know he does and can do, then that doesn't give them anything to work with. You know what I mean? But in the past, they know they can get a rise out of him. And that only leads to bad things for the Pack.
Speaking of talking junk, who's annoying, I just had to tell TikTok I wasn't interested in their content. Why does TikTok think that I'm in? Why does TikTok think that I want to watch anything that Amon-Ra St. Brown has to say about life? Like, get him out of my feed, TikTok. You know how stupid an algorithm has to be? If it's like, Corey Behnke, you're gonna like Lions content. No. What about Bears? No. Not. No. Oh, well, you like the
latest.
NFL, so
about,
you should like NFL. No, fuck
the
NFL.
He's talking to the Bears quarterback.
Oh, my God. Why? Why? So why do we live in this era? I liked it better when players didn't. Well, you know what? Yeah. I would sacrifice this podcast to live in an era where I don't have to listen to all this garbage.
good. I think we're gonna put that on the title card from now on.
I would sacrifice this podcast.
The Packer transplants masthead. I would sacrifice this podcast and not have to listen to all this nonsense out there. I like it. I mean, oh, that's so good. The big question to me on defense, wrapping up the defensive side of the ball, is how does Jeff Hafley approach a brand new play caller in Detroit in John Morton, who had been the passing game coordinator in Denver, previously on the Lions staff a couple years ago? Man, week one's already a wild card. You know, it's nothing but but it's a majority of unscouted looks. And now you throw a wild card, like a brand new play caller. How much kind of Ben Johnson stuff do they stick with? Because it really obviously helped their quarterback. How much changes? What's their approach? I got to suspect they're still going for it on fourth down the majority of the time with Dan Campbell still in charge, you know?
Oh, yeah.
But, man, you know that. I'm very fascinated to see how Hafley approaches Morton. I mean, it's obviously nice that he's got Micah Parsons. That helps as far as not needing to gin up as much pressure, probably. But yeah, it's never just set it and forget it. And I'm, like I said, I'm interested to see what Chef Hafley cooks up on Sunday.
Yeah, I just wonder how much he's going to go against the person and more about like him just putting in his stuff, you know?
Going to run our stuff. Yeah.
We're going to run our stuff. I wonder how many. I really would love to know, like next season, just sit down with Hafley and just be like, okay, so how many plays did you have where it was like, this is the play where Micah will get a sack? Like, Micah sack plays.
Micah sack play.
This is an LBN sack play.
Guys, run the Micah sack play. Micah sack play two. Micah sack play three.
Stat. Like, Micah sack. Yeah, that'd be nice. How cool would that be if you could just dial that up?
I mean, it wouldn't suck. It would not suck. Hopefully we start dialing those up on Sunday. You can get a preview of the game in our next Cheesehead TV Nation newsletter going out tomorrow morning. I got another great edition, great chat with Andy Herman. That'll be in the newsletter each and every week throughout the season. Make sure you subscribe to the diehard level of the Cheesehead TV Nation newsletter so you get that each and every week. All right, Corey, you ready? You ready for this nonsense?
Yeah, I'm ready. Let's do it.
All right, let's do it.
This week in the Packer Blogosphere.
That's right. It's This Week in the Packer Blogosphere, the return of that venerable series. And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, give it up. Put your hands together for a brand new podcast here on Cheesehead TV. That's right. Ahead of the Pack debuts this week. It'll be out, I believe, sometime tomorrow. I can't tell you how excited I am to have Camille back, Monty and Daniel joining her. They're going to be previewing the Packers game each and every week. Ahead of the Pack, dropping here on the Cheesehead TV YouTube channel and in your podcast feeds. Very excited. I can't tell you how excited I am to have Camille back on Cheesehead TV. We've been talking well over the course of the last year or so about doing something with her, getting her back on the channel. Very excited to have her and Monty and Daniel back in the fold. Going to be a good time. Dropping tomorrow. Make sure you check it out. Corey, I know
Monty, well, you know what's cool about Monty? I just saw him during training camp. He, what I love about Monty is he is in my life that I've met, he's one of the biggest connoisseurs of a cocktail I've ever met in my life. He can get down there. He can get in with it. And I appreciate a man who has good cocktail taste.
He most certainly does at that, no doubt about it. I know you had something you wanted to highlight regarding Packer Bungalow there in the Green Bay area.
So if you're coming to Green Bay for the Carolina game, I believe. Yeah, Carolina game. I've got it pinned in the comment. I've got a link to it in the comment of this video. Check out Packer Bungalow, one block from Lambeau Field. There's some shots. There it is right there. That's the driveway view, people. That's wait, go back to that. Oh, there. That's the kitchen view of Lambeau. And those are some really nice, I did all that. That's where it is right there. That shot right there is like shows you how close it is. But yeah, we only have one night available or one day available. It's the Carolina game in November. If you're looking to book, and you haven't done your travel yet, please, please consider Packer Bungalow. Would really appreciate it. And yeah, Packer Bungalow.
Do it, people. It's going to be a lot of fun. That's going to be a fun week. That's throwback weekend. That's the weekend they're wearing the throwback jerseys. So
it's, I mean, this is the third year we've had it, and this is the first year we've had this many booked this soon. So if we can book this, we're good to go. We did it.
Awesome. Absolutely love it. Elsewhere in the Packer blogosphere, I want to give a shout out to Ethan Bacon, who is a somewhat new videographer for the Green Bay Packers, came aboard the last couple of years. A lot of people probably, at least here on YouTube, remember him from his YouTube channel back in the day. Was, you know, hired by the Packers to do amazing things like he did yesterday. We can't show the video because, you know, the Packers wanted you to watch it on their YouTube channel. So make sure you do that. Welcome back to Packers football. It is incredible. Gives you goosebumps. Hair on the back of my neck stood up. It was awesome. Ethan has been an awesome addition to the Packers digital team, and definitely wanted to give him a shout out after that awesome video dropped yesterday.
I liked it. I watched it.
Speaking,
I like the
speaking
end
of all,
the best.
The end was dope.
I thought.
Speaking,
you know what
of
I
awesome
thought about
stuff. Oh,
Nagler.
What? Go ahead.
So you know that sweat? You know that sweater? I saw somebody posted the sweater that Micah Parsons wore on his first day. It's like $1,200. Mm. You can get it like used.
Right.
And I thought about getting it, but then I was like, oh, I'll just wear this. But then I realized it's like Dallas colors and Packers colors, kind of.
Is it?
Yeah, it's like Packers colors on the top, but then
so
it like
blue
goes
and silver
into this.
Or something?
Yeah, it's like it's weird. So then I was like, no, I can't do it. But anyway, I was gonna get it for Christmas.
No, were you? That was gonna be my Christmas present. Well, I appreciate
that.
Yeah,
but instead,
it's
I'm
the
maybe
thought that counts.
You,
that's what they say.
Maybe I'm gonna get you carry the G instead. So there you go.
Okay, that
You're
sounds
welcome.
Good. I can live with that. speaking of carry the G, how about a shout out for Brent, who designed the carry the G label, who has been killing it in the merch game. Our new store is filled with new great designs from Brent. Tons of great stuff. Make sure you check it out. There's a link here on YouTube that you can do so. Just go to the store link. I'm all in on this Chef Halfley shirt, and I gotta admit, Russ Baller, that's incredible. That's phenomenal. But make sure you get your new Cheesehead TV merch for the next season coming up here in a couple days. Very exciting stuff, Banky. I know.
Yeah,
you're upgrading a bunch of stuff.
We upgraded the store, so we got better stuff,
yes.
Better response, faster. We did a whole upgrade.
Much
Nagler
faster
personally.
Deliveries.
Nagler
Much
has
faster.
Personally delivered on working with the new store and getting everything up to speed. And I got a meeting with Brent tomorrow. We're going to talk about some new designs tomorrow too. So yeah,
sweet.
I got to order. I got to place an order for this season's merchandise. I'm really excited.
Yeah, you do, brother. Yeah, you do. All right, let's get to the comments here on YouTube. I think a couple people have. I do first, though, want to give a shout-out because I believe somebody, like literally right before we went live, joined as a Carry the G Club member, and I want to make sure they get a shout-out because goodness knows we appreciate each and every one of you. This is John Plettle. I hope I'm not butchering that, but John, thank you so much for joining the Carry the G Club. Look forward to seeing you here on the YouTube channel throughout the season, but certainly during watch parties, which is always a good time. Thank you, brother.
Mimsy, why are people upset about us trading two number 32 picks? Because we do such a good job of picking at that 25 and 27 and 24.
Get it? Because Mimsy's saying we're going to win the next two Super Bowls. I like it, Mimsy. I like where your head's at. I don't know why anyone would be upset about that, but, you know, people just like to be upset because it's the internet. That's how we roll.
E4 K-Town. So, when are y'all going to have Micah Parsons on? You know he has to be looking forward to it. ...
You know, maybe someday. We'll see. When he's a two-time Super Bowl champion with the Green Bay Packers, then we'll probably have him on.
There you go.
Hype. There it is.
Doug Hype TV, Hype Television.
What's
up, Doug? Cheesehead TV party with Carry the G. Yep, you will be able to buy Carry the G there.
Hope we
I
see
go
you
check
there,
to
Doug.
See if they've got it. I think I got to go
they
check
do.
Over
they
there.
They do. I confirmed yesterday they have some.
Yeah, but we need to confirm it.
We have to make sure we have enough. Yes, I think that's a good idea.
Yeah. They're going to sell a lot of it. I told them that. NA Productions took Cowboys fans 1 week to fall back into copium. Dead.
Feels like less than that.
I mean,
yeah.
if it wasn't the Cowboys, I would feel sorry for them. But
yeah, exactly. I had this thought the other day. It's like, man, you have a checked out, over the hill, clearly lost it owner who is in charge of your favorite team. If it was anybody else other than the Cowboys, I'd feel sorry for their fandom.
Yeah. Well, no. Not if it was Bears or Vikings. So if it was anybody but the Bears, Vikings, or Cowboys, I'll
feel sorry. Yeah, that's probably true. Although I did kind of almost feel bad for the Bears fans 2 years ago when, you know, McCaskies were still in charge and they were really hoping they'd move it and they were chanting, sell the team, everything. And I was like, God, that's got to suck. But you know what? They're the Bears. They still suck. So that makes sense.
Yeah. Checks out. Kerry Bishop, 2876. Transplants is here. Just tuning in. How's your tomato crop this year, Corey? Made sauce yet? I have not made sauce, although the tomatoes have done really well. I have a new video about lemon blush tomato harvest that turned out really well. But then my Berkeley tie-dye tomatoes completely crashed and burned. I actually do a fail video because I'm one of those gardeners where it's not just about the successes. I don't know if you know this about me, but it's not just your Instagram life. Yeah, I'm not really an Instagram life type of person. I'm going to show you the warts and all the stuff. But thanks, Kerry, for asking. Appreciate it. My mouse doesn't want to move right now. Hi. Please move. Thank you. Joe Mailman, 5164. Who was the subject of the original The Hotness? Is this a trivia game now?
Really good question. I couldn't tell you, Corey. I couldn't say.
When did we even start The Hotness? I think we started it like
3 years ago. Is it that long? No. No chance. No chance it's been around 8 years.
I feel like it's
pre-pandemic. Off. No way. No way.
Okay. I bet it's long. It's always longer than you think.
That's true. Time does fly.
Yeah. It's always longer than you think. Luke Carnes. What a 2025 so far. We got Micah Parsons and a Monarch cam. Let's go. Thanks, Luke.
Oh, real quick, wait. I want to give a shout-out to The Devil Is Not KNOT, a member on Carry the G Club for 19 months, who asks, at what point do you think Packers front office said to themselves, holy crap, we might get Micah Parsons? I'll probably say I'll say 3 or 4 days before it actually happened. That would be my guess.
What do you think? You know what's fascinating about that question is, what do you think was the inner circle? So, Because at some point, who knew that the Cowboys had accepted the trade, but that we were negotiating with Micah's agent?
The contract.
Because there,
right.
That was 2 to 3 days, right? My understanding, I think, that's been reported.
Yep, around there.
So
yep,
in that 2 to 3 days, I think it was Ed Policy, Brian, Russ.
Yep.
But that's probably it.
I'll bet Milt knew. Milt Hendrickson.
I don't think
Brian had to have told him. Oh, Matt, I would be surprised if Matt knew.
Like, why would you tell? Because here's the problem, right? Even if you know, you don't want anybody to get excited. Like,
or let it slip out. You know, the more people you tell, the more possibility that something gets out there.
That it fucks up. Yeah, it messes up. Well, and that's the other thing I always tell people. Like, you don't want to spend too much bandwidth on things that aren't real. And in our job, in production, in my other business, it's like, hey, don't spend bandwidth on potential jobs or jobs we're holding. And that kind of idea, I bet it was a pretty small circle in that time period.
Totally agree.
Porkmaster 4312, Nags, why did you bring up pre-snap penalties with Andy Herman? I was flying so high, and then I remembered we love beating ourselves. Damn you.
Just keeping it real for you there, Porkmaster. Just keeping it real.
I don't like it when you keep it real. Speaking of keeping it real, and actually to Porkmaster's point, I think that we should try to not keep it real during watch party. What do you think about that?
Like, how so? How do you
like you just have a fence. It's kind of like pre-camp idea, but it's like you kind of just
everything's
put
great.
A little...
Even though we're false starting and putting ourselves in bad situations and dropping the football, we're just supposed to be like, it doesn't matter. It's the Green Bay Packers. Is that what you want?
Not quite that, but that is the idea. The idea is I'm going to put a boundary. We're going to
You're going to need to do this with someone else if that's the case. Because, dog,
no,
that ain't happening.
But not – did you hear what I said? I said not quite
I did.
That.
I heard what you said, yes.
Because no, I feel I like – no, I feel like you're a little bit – okay. Like, you know, as for someone who says they're not an Eeyore – mm-hmm. Dustin Logan, thanks for the super chat. Be great to see y'all Saturday and be at the first two home games a week away from Arizona Heat. Always great in Wisconsin in September. Go Pack Go. Thanks, Dustin, for the super chat.
What's up,
appreciate
Dustin?
It.
Sounds good, brother.
I've been watching Dustin kick ass and take names on Instagram. Corralling my chaos. I want to hear a medical professional speculate about the different grade scenarios, not an athlete or a pundit. I agree. Has any medical professional?
Are they talking?
Professional
is this about that? Is this about the back? About Micah's back?
I think so. I think the point is I added it because it was like, oh yeah, I agree with that sentiment. Has any medical professional? I mean, it's so hard. It's your back. It's like you
but
know.
No,
your
here's
dad
the other problem.
Like,
here's the problem with this comment. Because the word speculate is in there. I don't want to hear anybody speculate because that's all it is speculation. I don't care how expert they are. I say this all the time on Daily, without access to the medical information, everybody's just guessing. And that doesn't do anybody any good.
Especially
like you can
about
talk
pain.
About theoretical
Especially
stuff
about
all
like
day
pain,
long.
Yeah,
pain threshold, what actually is happening. We don't know. We don't have the information other than the information that someone wanted you to know, i.e. Jerry Jones and the Cowboys after the trade and oh by the
or
way
Mike
you're dealing
agent,
with the back.
Or the Packers yeah whatever
you know what I mean
exactly.
Like
yep
it's just speculation so I don't want to hear it. That's just me. Your mileage may vary.
Okay, so I don't know if this is so we do live or so we to live, but Negs, your cap okay. is crazy. Where did you get it?
In our store. Go to the store button here on YouTube and you'll find it. It's in the Cheesehead TV merch store. Thanks, man.
Eric.
I tell you what, these are flying off the shelves, the digital shelves.
You can't buy this one. I bought this at the pro shop, and then I had Spencer Young do this Willie Davis little art. It's a one of one. I got a lot of those. Actually, Spencer's fence over here, we're going to see. He's got a fence over here that
this weekend,
I get
right?
to see. It's so cool. You're going to get to see it, and you're going to be amazed at it. What I love about it is it doesn't view the street, so it's like only people. It's kind of cool. It's a little hideaway. It's like an alleyway. Eric Doyle, 7403. Hey, y'all. Super pumped for the season. Thinking back to LaFleur's visit to Corey's house. Not asking for you to speak out of school, but did you glean any insights into this year's team or into him as a coach? I don't kiss and tell, Eric. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'd say
the problem
we got
is
some fun stuff, but nothing we can ever talk about.
There are three conversations that I'm looking back at that were like wildly fascinating. To Aaron's credit about that party that we've done now for, I think this was our seventh year.
Yeah.
Sixth year.
That's been going on a
while. It started, honestly, the first time we actually got together was four of us. It was me and it was supposed to be five, but we won't name who the fifth person was supposed to be. But it was
you also
Wes.
Ducked out this year.
No, it was five of us, but it was supposed to be six. Sorry, I can't
six.
Count.
Six, yeah.
It was originally me, Pete Doherty, Wes Hodkowitz, Rob Domofsky, and Aaron Nagler. And the idea was Pete had his 100 best players of the Green Bay Packers. And
top
so
100
we did
Packers players of all time, right?
Yeah, and so we did this awesome. It was amazing. And actually, I just was amazed that I got to sit there and listen to this. I contributed not that much. But just sitting around my table talking about the top 100 Packers players on a podcast was pretty epic. And so out of that became like the unofficial Packers beat writers off the record training camp end of season get together. And the whole point of it, to Aaron's credit, is and actually something that's very much needed, I think, in general in this world, is a place to just kind of be cool, not worry about all this bullshit, you know, all the like Twitter and hate and all this stuff, social media and all this crap, and just be real human beings, hang out for, you know, 2 or 3 hours, talk shit and go home, you know. And Coach really, I think, responded to that of like, hey, this is a moment for me as you know, I'm not crazy busy. I've got all this stuff going on, but I'm going to take a moment with people that I have to spend some of my professional life with and have human interactions with them. So I actually am very proud of him for that. I think he's kind of an incredible human being to see that and then, you know, take the time out of his day to do that. So that's my two thoughts on that.
Couldn't agree more. And yeah, I'm right there with you, Corey. The idea that he saw the value in it was pretty damn cool.
Skinner M10. Hey, dudes, thanks for what you do. Thank you, Skinner.
Thanks, Skinner. M10. Appreciate you.
Zoe to live. Don't forget to hit the like and subscribe, people, please. Easy way to support. Yeah, we don't do enough call to actions on this channel.
We don't. We really don't.
So really, can you please, don't. If you are not subscribed to this channel right now, please hit the subscribe button. And if you are subscribed, then hit the like button. And if you've already liked it, just make a comment and make sure the comment isn't mean to me. It's mean to Naren. Thanks. Well, appreciate amazing. You.
I was going to say turn on notifications so you know when we're live, but, you know, just mean tweets to me or mean comments to me is fine. That's good.
Yeah,
just, we'll
mean
take
comments to good. Aaron are fine. If they're too mean, right. I will get rid of them. But we need the engagement badly, people. Okay? We're desperate.
It's true.
So go for it. Go Pack. If Hobbs doesn't play, will the corners struggle?
Nope.
Great question.
Nope. Will there be moments where they get beat? Yep. Because they play cornerback in the NFL. But they're not going to struggle any more than they would have if Hobbs had played. Now, we're losing Hobbs, the most frustrating part of not having Hobbs out there is all the physicality and attitude we saw at the start of camp that I was so excited about adding to the defensive side of the ball. That's what you're missing without having Hobbs in there. Certainly, he can cover. He's a good corner. But, man, his physicality just jumped off the field. And not having him there, that robs you a little bit, especially when it comes to getting guys on the ground, limiting yak and things like that. But as a whole, as a group, in Halfley's defense, no. They won't struggle any more than they would have if he'd been out there.
Brandy Lewis, 7-11. Dear Halfley, I have started to believe in your ability to lead the defense. Don't fuck it up. Thanks. LOL.
Oh, you got Brandy on your side. This is rare air for a defensive coordinator in Green Bay.
I don't know if we should be happy or if we should be like, is this kind of
trepidatious,
like,
a little scared? Yeah, I feel you.
But hey,
I feel
you. That's a big recommend.
She just put that out in the universe right there.
Jake McMackin, 1761, woke up 6 a.m., drove 3 hours one way for training camp multiple times this summer, fandom unmatched and ready to watch Parsons make Goff look like Jared Goff. Go Pack, go. Jake.
Go Back, go.
Appreciate that.
I want to give a shout out to Johnny Rivers, a Carry the G Club member for the last 34 months, who says, I really hope Kenny can get out of Dallas and sign a new contract with a team I am physically capable of giving any support. Go Pack, go. I hear you. I pulled a short from Daily the other day talking about how fucking bizarre it's going to be watching Kenny in a Dallas uniform. And I know everyone's talking about, or will be talking about, Micah Parsons facing his old team. For me, that whole week is going to be surreal just thinking about Kenny Clark going up against the Packers offensive line. Like, no thank you. Nope. I don't want anything to do with that. I'm not a fan.
No. I don't. Although I do think like that game is
we're going to win
crazy.
That game. We're going to win that game. Come on now.
Dude, how many sacks? Okay. How many sacks is Micah Parsons going to have in that game? Seriously.
All of them. All of the sacks.
It could be.
I'm very excited.
That could be the highest. What is the highest? Is 9 the number? Is 9 the highest number of sacks ever in an NFL game?
I want to say 8.
What does Google
8
say?
8 or 9. I'm not sure.
What does the Google AI say? Let's hold on. What's the record for NFL sacks in a game? Do. 7. Derek Thomas of the Kansas City Chiefs in 1990. All right, 8 sacks for Micah Parsons. Oh, my God. Can you imagine if Micah Parsons got 8 sacks against the Cowboys?
I can,
Oh, my goodness. That would be amazing.
I can imagine quite a bit.
Oh, my goodness. That would be incredible. They would be showing Jerry Jones after every sack. He would have to stop being on TV because they would just be like, close.
Oh, dude, remember like in the playoff game, every time big play happened and they would show Jerry and it got worse and worse and he's like slapping his table and all this shit.
Well, did you see the documentary where they kept showing where he was? Oh my God, that was so funny how he said that was like the worst day of his life or something. He said something like that, like
worst loss in franchise history. I mean, not the Ice Bowl, Corey.
Not the Ice Bowl, Jerry.
The
divisional matchup. Was he like 4 years old during the Ice Bowl? I think he was probably like 5. Sim Giles, longtime listener. Hello from Wicklow, Ireland. What's up, Ireland?
Fans worldwide. What's going on, Ireland? Love it.
What's going on, Wicklow?
Appreciate you.
Wicklow, is that
Wish we were watching the Packers in Ireland this year, but no.
Is that Western Ireland or Eastern Ireland? I got a good Western Irish dialect. I've actually been paid. I've been paid a couple, 2-3 times to use my Western Galway accent. So, anybody good needs time. A Western Galway. If Sim Giles, if you ever need an American doing a shitty version of your country's accent, I'm here for you, buddy. I'm here for you. Sometimes my mouse doesn't like me. It's weird.
Nope.
E4K Town. Saw the Willie Davis on your hat. Good on you. This is one of my favorite hats. Willie Davis. I don't know if you guys know this, but who is the Packers' all-time sack leader?
Willie Davis.
Is it? According to the 1265 behind me, who's full of shit, and Cliff Crystal should change this on the website before he... Honestly... Cliff Crystal should get a new contract, and on his contract, he should put that the website should say this. So is it, 1, Willie Davis, 2, Clay Matthews, 3, Reggie White?
Willie Davis.
Yeah, right there. All-time sack leader, Green Bay Packers history. It's well documented, but the NFL refuses to actually recognize it.
And they don't acknowledge anything that happened prior to 1982 when it comes to sacks.
Oh, but were there televisions before that? Oh, could we watch all of the tape and we could actually do the same measurement we do for anything else? Yep. Yeah, we could.
No doubt.
And that's why I know that's true.
Yep.
It's really sad. The only other sad thing about that we need to write besides that for the Green Bay Packers is actually we won another championship. There's some controversy
about
that.
The 14th. Yes, sir.
So technically we've won 14 championships. So yeah, there's that. You know what's really sad?
You should do a video about that, Corey.
I should. You know what's really sad? I was talking to a Bears fan and they didn't know how many championships they had won.
Yeah,
I had to look it up. It's like
to them it's just
it's a lot.
Yeah. But to them it's just 1985. Right, that's all they've got. That's it in their minds. Plus, you got to remember they changed names and stuff. You know, the franchise has been through some stuff. You know, whereas you know the Packers, it's just been the Packers. That's all. Is that it? We got good. Are we good on comments? We got everybody.
Yeah, we're good on comments.
I don't miss anybody.
Somebody's requesting that they do a super chat, so one of us gets paid 4 times. But I'm waiting for the super chat. But other than that.
I want to shout out to our Patreon members, shall we? Patreon members, thank you so much for your support. Thank you so much for hopping on our weekly happy hour on Monday on a holiday evening. Really appreciate all of you showing up. It was a lot of fun. Great banter. Great kind of reveling in the Micah Parsons information and kind of pinching ourselves. As well as Care of the G Club members here on YouTube. You guys at thebomb.com. Thank you so much. And cannot wait to see you all. On watch party. We got a watch party this Sunday. Corey, you and me, we're watch party.
I know, I got
on Sunday.
I was thinking about how I was going to set it up in the new office. Oh, Dublin is awesome too. We got one more super chat. Amy Gooding, 1349. I know Amy Gooding. Swore off buying any further jerseys, but bought a Parsons just so I can wear it to the game in Dallas. 8 sacks and a pick six incoming. Oh, a pick six. Can you imagine? If Micah Parsons gets a pick six on the 7-yard line against Dallas and just runs it in like B.J. Raji style.
He dives over.
Oh, my God. If he gets eight eight sacks, you got to retire that jersey. If he ever just gets 8 sacks in a game.
Okay. That is correct. let's beat the Lions. That's all
the
I can
first right. time I let's see Mark, Micah Parsons, does Micah Par- do, have we, if the first time I see him attempt a swim move, I think I'm going to just lose my shit.
Well, I'll be right next to you when it happens, so I can't wait. It's going to be a good time.
Do you, how many sacks do you think he's going to get against the Lions?
One.
I think he's going to get three.
All right.
I think he's going to get three. I think Rashawn Gary's going to get one. I think LVN's going to get a half sack.
Okay. All right. That's how we're going to beat the Lions. I like it. We got the game plan right here at Cheesehead TV. I'm all in.
I'm so sick of people being scared of the Lions. It's annoying.
I'm not scared of the Lions. Nobody's scared. A champion fears no one. I just know it's a tough team, and they've owned our ass at Lambeau for the last few years. That's undeniable. Dog, if we can go into halftime and we're not down three scores, I'm going to be happy. Because that's what's occurred the last couple times they've come to Lambeau Field. That ain't no joke, man. That's a tough-ass team.
It's true. I'm Doug Hype TV. They're a joke, though. They're a joke franchise. Doug Hype TV, buy you a beer very soon. Watch out. Thanks for the Super Chat.
Can't wait. Cannot wait, Doug. Very excited. You got anything else for the fine folks at home there, Corey Behnke?
I want to know what it's like for Sim Giles in Ireland to hear in his head what his accent sounds like listening to me saying a couple two tree in his head. That's what I got.
That'll do it for this episode of Packer Transplants. We'd like to thank everyone who makes Cheesehead TV part of their daily Packers routine. We are and will always be devoted to Packers fans worldwide.
Dustin Logan with the super chat from the top rope. Corey's Peppers stronger than the Lions. Let's go!
Thanks, everybody. Go, Pack, go.
I think it's a fluid situation, and we're I know you guys love it, especially Nagler. I can see you smirking at me right there. We're going to take it one day at a time. And just it's going to be fluid, though. That's all I can tell you.